This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey guys, this is Dr. Vic, and you are listening to another episode here on the Mindful Experiment. Excited to have you guys on. As this episode, I had a wonderful and beautiful conversation with Terry Lonowski, and this was just a great combo. It was really heartfelt, and I know you'll feel that in the conversation. We talked a lot about what she does in soulful listening. Now, what is that? Well, you're going to learn all about that in the episode. But it's really, I think, an answer to a lot of the problems we face in America. She shared some stats on 50%, over 50% of Americans feel lonely in some way, shape, or form. And we talked about some of the health implications in there. We talked about her process to what soulful listening is. We heard her beautiful story, and we talk about, and I hope this brings up some memories for you, as it did for me. There was actually a couple that came up. One I didn't even think was going to show up. And it's about the people in our lives who really held space for us and how monumental they were for us in our life. We've all had them. And when you really look at your life, you're going to see that they show up. And it's us being more human, in other words. And that's the kind of way I took this episode. And I'm really excited to share this with you guys. So before I go any further, I want to just share, Terry is all about being heard is powerful. With inspiration from her grandma, Helga, and wisdom evolved throughout her lifetime, Terry created a five-element holistic approach to heal the communication divide and experience in our relationships, at work, and our personal lives. Terry is a TEDx speaker and founder of Soulful Listening and earned a master's in education and educational psychology from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Significant professional contributions include serving as a chair of the American Counseling Association Foundation, representing over 50,000 professional counselors nationwide, and leading nationwide human-centered design teams, not once but twice, to showcase workforce innovations at the White House. Great conversation, guys. Sit back and relax. Enjoy this one. Here is Terry Lonowski. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Vic. I am so excited to be here today.
I'm excited to dive in. I love what you're doing. I love your concept on soulful listening and all that. I am all about the soul in general. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Before we get into that, can you please share just with the listeners your journey of how you got into what you're doing today?
Oh gosh, that's such a great, rich question. And it's evolved throughout my lifetime. But what I know for sure is that there is power in being heard. And I also know the pain of not being heard. And so my life has taken me on a journey that has helped me to kind of reveal the secret to listening in a way that leaves others feeling heard deeply. And it was inspired by my grandma Helga. So I'll give a little backdrop of how I grew up and what really gave me the foundation of this. So I grew up in a small country town of Auburn, Nebraska, and I lived in a mansion on the second floor of a mansion, which sounds just lovely. And I say second floor because my family had converted the first floor into a bustling restaurant with banging and clanging and late night bar crowds beneath my bedroom every night from 3 years old on. And what I wanted more than anything was to feel seen and heard without even being able to name it. And if someone had asked me who listens to you, it would not have been my parents. The focus was on the business, and there was wild chaos and family dysfunction. But there was one person that did listen, and that was my grandma Helga. And in her presence, it was as though we were in a safe, warm, delicious bubble with savory aromas wafting in from the kitchen, added extra comfort. And our relationship was critically important throughout my life, especially in high school, when my high school guidance counselor, when you go in for that senior conversation about what's next, and he said to me, "Terry, you're a small town girl. You get lost in a big city like Lincoln, Nebraska. Your best bet is to go to secretarial school and work for your family restaurant." And that would have been a death sentence for my spirit. So after some sleepless nights, I went to Grandma Helga to sort through that lie. And she, with great presence, said to me, "Terry, look at all I've done without education. Think of what you can do with it." And by her holding the space for possibility and speaking possibility into me, my life shifted in a completely different trajectory. And I went on to earn a master's degree at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and eventually chaired the American Counseling Association Foundation, which represented over 50,000 professional counselors. And then I even went on further to coach human-centered design teams from across the nation. And at the heart of that was empathy. And we ended up in the White House two different times. And imagine what my high school guidance counselor would have said to that. But again, it's the power of being heard. And a soulful listening conversation can change the trajectory of someone's life, whether you are the person doing the listening or you're the person being heard. And so does that kind of gives a little bit of background.
I love your background. I can relate to that because I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, very emotional, and it was just, I grew up in an Italian family, and it was just, that level of emotional intelligence, I guess, for lesser words to choose, was always just deal with it, figure it out. He's one of those moves, or that's how he is. That's it. And it was rather, I just wanted to be heard, like just hear where I'm at, right? Just let me just be able to share. And it's, I always say life will, God, life, whatever you want to call it, will always bring people to you that you need. And you had your grandmother, and I had mine, didn't really show up until high school, but she was in my life before, but I didn't really like create that relationship with her until I was in high school. But it was one of my mom's, she's actually the one that forced my parents to get together, like marriage. She forced my dad, I should say. My mom wanted to get married, but my dad's like, no, pulling off. The one day I remember, the story goes, middle of the night, it was 12 o'clock at night. My dad, she was an old, she was a German woman, and she just looked at him and said, "You are marrying this girl, or else, mister, that's it. I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna give you hell." And he got her married, and that was the end of it. But she was the sweetest lady in the world, and she was the one that would listen to me, because in high school it was really more of that. And it was one of those things where my parents would say something. I always remember, she's like, parents forget the will that they don't realize that what they're sharing is what they want rather than listening to what you want. And that was, I'll never forget that statement. And I was like, man, if I didn't have her, I don't know. So I just wanted to share that because I could totally relate from what you're sharing.
That is so beautiful and heartwarming, and it really reinforces the importance that a person that we value in our life listening to us in a way that is inspiring. It just is so important.
So how does one begin? Because we're not really, I think in today's era, we're so in our heads so much that, and it's always like we're not even present in the moment half the time in conversations. Okay. How does one begin to even, what's that journey look like? Or maybe I have so many questions I want to fire. So I'm like, hold on here. You know, what is soulful listening? We'll go with that first. And then we can talk about the journey of that afterwards.
Beautiful, beautiful. I think it might be helpful for me to just kind of highlight the five elements of soulful listening, so we have a framework to have the rest of our conversation. So there again are five elements, the first of which is self-care. We rarely consider the importance of self-care when we talk about high quality communication. But when we've had enough rest, a good nourishment, a good nutrition for a few days, we really are more emotionally available for others. So just being mindful of that. And also our self-talk, you know, what's spinning in our head, that affects how we can connect with another, and setting healthy boundaries. So it's really complex, but self-care is fundamental to high quality communication. And that sets us up for the second element of soulful listening, which is becoming fully present. You just mentioned that. And, you know, I imagine we all have been in situations where we can almost see a bubble above a person's head with a laundry list of things they're thinking about. Not us. We feel it. And so when I say becoming fully present, sometimes that can feel a little abstract. So what I would love to do is to guide your listeners and us through a simple breathing exercise. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. The way that we're going to do that, we're going to take three intentional breaths. The way that we'll do that is breathe in through our nose, we'll hold, and then we'll breathe out through our mouth, and we'll breathe out for a longer count than we breathe in. So four in and six out. And before we do that, just take note of your body. Just feel your body right now. Wiggle around a little bit. Okay. And now we're going to begin. Breathe in through your nose to the count of four. One, two, three, four. Hold. And out through your mouth. One, two, three, four, five, six. Again, in through your nose and out through your mouth. And notice the warmth in your heart area. The final time, breathe in through your nose, hold, and out. One, two, three, four, five, six. Now notice your body. Wiggle your toes. We are all more fully present now than we were before. I felt the energy shift between the two of us. And so it's so important when we truly take care of ourselves and become fully present, we bring a quality of grace and compassion into every interaction. And this sets us up for the third element of soulful listening, which is kind of a combination of active listening and empathy. If these two had a child, it would be this element of soulful listening. And it's where we listen all in with every fiber of our being, through all of our senses, through our eyes, our ears, our heart, our intuition, to more than just words. And the Urban Dictionary defines this type of listening as quantum listening. So it's that next evolution of listening, all in. And when we listen in this way, we often gain insights into how we might be helpful to another, which sets us up for the fourth element, which I call the secret sauce, and that's inspired action. When we gain this insight, we might, and we often do, find areas where we can be helpful to another, and we all have access to connections, to resources that can be of enormous value to another person. And so it's taking it a step further, listening, taking action, inspired action. You have somebody else's back, no strings attached. You just do it from, you know, your free will, so to speak, and from a position of generosity. And then there is the final element of soulful listening, and that's the feedback loop. That's when you let a person know that you've taken this action. Again, no strings attached. You know, oftentimes we can be in conversations where a person's leaning forward, they're nodding their head, you feel like you're being heard, and then crickets. You have no idea if anything was done, and you kind of wonder, you kind of question yourself, did it even matter that I just bore my soul in front of another person? But as these five elements repeat themselves, they embed integrity within a relationship. So imagine having that kind of an exchange with a person. The next time you are together, the guard's down a little bit further. You're open up, you're more vulnerable, and it's safe to do so. And when that inspired action is taken, you have confidence not only in the relationship and your conversation, but in yourself.
Just want to take a quick break here and just share with you, if you've been enjoying this episode, please do me a huge favor and just share it with a friend, a family member, someone that you know would benefit or enjoy listening to this just like you are. If this is your first time listening to the episode, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. It allows you not to miss another update or episode release that we do. If you're enjoying this, please do me a huge favor and share a review on whatever platform that you listen to at the podcast on. It helps expand our reach and our mission out there and so much more. Now, let's go ahead and let's get back to the show. I like it. There's a lot of questions to ask now. I love when someone brings up inspired action, because I teach a lot on universal laws with clients and so forth. And one of the things that is, especially as a business coach, it's one of the mindset shift that I have to get people to, is you don't have to do much of anything. And a lot of times people think they do, but when you bring up inspired action, there's actually a law called the law of inspired action. And that when this relates more to like law of vibration, when you're at a certain vibration, the thoughts or ideas, circumstances or situations, they're just going to come to you. But I love this in a communication piece too, because it relates to that, where if you're really just tapping in and being present, you know, at that moment, you're allowing your intuition to kind of, it's like listening with different ears, as I like to usually say it. And it's one of those things where you pick up on stuff where you may be inspired to say something, maybe, or you may feel, and it's just a whole, like, you don't have to think about anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about when I first saw like you do soulful listening, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see what this is going to be about, because I don't do a whole lot of homework on my guests, because I want to keep it open and just to be able to be like, okay, I got a couple things I understand what they do or what this is, but I'm not going to go look at what that is. I want to learn from them. So then that way it's more that way. So I could be present, right? And not have like, oh, this is what I read. This is what it is. Okay. I already understand this. No, I soulful listening. Cool. I have no idea where that's going to go. Let me dive in here and have a conversation. So I love that. So let's get into self-care. I'm a big person about self-care. I formerly was a pediatric chiropractor, holistic practitioner, energy medicine practitioner. So I'm all about self-care. What are some things that you recommend for people to really start their journey on self-care?
That's such a great question. Begin. Begin. No matter where you are, you can take steps forward to more self-care. So, you know, like, step away from judgment. Say, oh, man, I haven't exercised for like a month and a half, and I forget it. No, start wherever you are, acknowledge where you are, and then take a step forward. And I also would encourage you listeners to really look at their life. They may be incorporating self-care right now, but not aware of it. You know, the dog has to be walked. You know, you're out in nature, hopefully, to walk the dog. And when you're doing that, say, oh, this is part of my self-care. Oh, I never noticed that tree before, that flower before. So your awareness is part of the self-care as well. And so start small and then incrementally add more and more. And how we talk to ourselves, we can do that. We can just kind of catch ourselves. Oh man, that loop. I think Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, one of my big takeaways from that book is we would never talk to another person the way that we talk to ourselves. So just check yourself on that. And that's part of self-care. Yeah.
I love that. I love when people bring that up because it's like, I always say, sometimes I'll ask clients like, would you date yourself? You know, how you talk to yourself, would you date yourself? Oh, heck, I've never got a yes yet. Sometimes I had a client one time, they said, no, I wouldn't. They're like, doc, would you date yourself? I'm like, absolutely not. They're like, wait a minute, you're the one who's the, and I'm like, no, I'm being honest with you. I'm transparent. No, I wouldn't. I go, I have inner critic. I have limiting beliefs. I have all these things. I go, I'm working through them. I go, maybe 10 years down the road, I'll see how that goes. But yeah, I love how one thing you brought up too, it's so many times, and the way I asked that question, I would actually want to change it because I asked it in a way of all these things to do. And you brought it up so elegantly where it's just like, just take a step, right? Just do something. Like just get, you know, and if you got to walk the dog, I love compounding things. So if you got to walk the dog, that's a task that we have to do. Go out in nature and do it. Now, all of a sudden, there's self-care and you're walking in your dog, taking care of them. And it's just, it's a win-win on both worlds.
Right.
I love that. Present time, I love how you use the breath to reset, you know, and get centered. I'm so huge on breath work and just breath in general. When it comes to that, when you're in a conversation, is there a certain breathing pattern that someone can utilize to stay present? Because I know over the years, I've had to learn how to be hyper focused in listening and being present in the moment, especially being like an ADHD person. Back in my day, I was undiagnosed because when I went to chiropractic school, I kind of looked back and was going, when I learned about it, I was like, oh my God, that's me. Holy cow, that was me to the T. But through chiropractic and meditation and all these other things, it's taught me how to center my energy so intensely. How can an individual really dive deep and stay present in a conversation when they're listening to somebody?
Right. You know, we have to breathe no matter what. So that's a good base.
Done deal. That's it. You nailed that. That was a good question. I mean, that was a good answer.
And so I guess just being aware of your breath simultaneously while you're listening to another person. And sometimes if you could just kind of bring your breath down to your diaphragm, kind of the lower part of your diaphragm, rather than the shallow upper lung breathing, which is, you know, kind of indicative of fight flight. And so just kind of like push it down. Okay, my belly's extending, it's contracting, it's extending, it's contracting. And you don't have to make any big proclamation to another person when you're in the middle of a heated, high stakes conversation. But if you do that, just a couple of breaths, it doesn't need to be, oh, let's stop and breathe. You know, I mean, just like be, life is happening, just be in it and just be aware. Okay. That lady said, take a breath into my stomach. I'm going to do it right now. Okay.
I love that. Well, we're so taught not to, I just became a dad 2 months ago and
congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's been such a joy. And I love watching them because the way she breathes, she does belly breathing. I just see her stomach contracting up and out very fast. And I'm like, I go, interesting how that's the way we naturally should be breathing. And I remember at 19 years old, I was taught to breathe through my belly. And I had a yoga instructor tell me this. And he's like, you got to look and put your hand here, all these exercises to do.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can't, that's hard. I got to focus. What the heck? And he's like, we're all conditioned to do upper respiratory breathing up here using all these muscles instead of going deep. But one of the things I always like to share with people is that when you're talking about the deep diaphragm or extending the belly, there's actually nerves at the bottom of our abdomen that when they get stretched, it actually promotes relaxation. This is why when we can take a very good deep breath, our body calms. There's other parts of the brain that pick up on that also, but and I've learned that over time, and that's what always helps me stay centered and stay calm when I'm engaging in a conversation or even a heated argument. Because you know, the first thing we do when we're in a heated or just an argument or something comes up or someone just doesn't agree, and you're like, okay, how do I keep this smooth? How do I, and it's like, hold on, just breathe, just get present and you can feel them more. Because that's the one thing I want to, you know, the next question, kind of going down the steps you shared a little bit here.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed that yet, but you know, this is one thing I think is huge because it's all about, you know, you were talking about getting in with your senses and everything. How can we learn, or how can we trust ourselves, or learn to trust ourselves? Because listening, really, the words, I think there was a book I read, I think it's like 93% of what people say is actually, you know, or sorry, words are like, communication is 93% nonverbal. And, you know, what I think it's like 50 something percent when it comes to body language, and then it's like 30 some odd percent that comes to tone. How do we tap in, or any tips or tricks on how we can tap deeper into that element of like our intuition and to really feel the conversation rather than being so keen on what they're saying, which is all in the mind at the end of the day.
Right. Again, practice is helpful, but being, you know, being present will take you beyond where you are right now. No matter who we are, no matter how skilled we are at listening. I even myself, when I become present, when I just like hold the space for the conversation to be what it is. And so when I look at that, what that means to me is, you know, entering into a conversation without a prescribed script. Oh, he'll say this, I'll say that, it's going to end like this. You know, why even have the conversation? And so, you know, to just kind of dial that back. Be present, be aware of the person, be aware of the room, be aware of your own body, and that will open up greater possibilities. And when we enter into a conversation with a state of curiosity and some high quality questions, that can be helpful as well. And when we look at our, you know, you mentioned emotional intelligence, when we come into a conversation with a higher degree of emotional intelligence and really kind of charting out, not when you're in the middle of a heated conversation, but just be aware of your emotional range rather than, oh, I only have two. I'm elated or I'm mad. You know, no, there's a broader range. And as you become more aware of your degrees of emotional intelligence and their full range, you can kind of go, oh, that's triggering that. And you can just kind of let it be what it is. Not discard it, but let it be what it is and open up the space even further for a richer connection.
I like that. That is so true. Cause sometimes I interviewed someone before and we're talking about emotions, and I think it was like, they were talking about like people only have like, I think it's like three or four, like they'll say, this is the main emotions I have. And he's like, we need to expand that out so that you can understand the different tones and all that. And I love how you brought that up there. So another question then I'm thinking, because I like to look at things from different angles, and it's like, so I love this. I'm gonna come back to these questions on this part, but why do you think we as a society it comes to a point where we're just not being heard enough?
Mm-hmm. That is an incredibly complex question, and so I'm going to like.
It was inspired action. It came to me. I felt like someone told me I have to ask you this. So,
Well, okay. One of the reasons, I mean, if you go out to dinner and look around the table, so you see a family of four all looking at their cell phone as opposed to one another, we are not practicing connection and conversation and listening, nor are we experiencing being heard. You know, when we have a social media following of like 5 million, yet we haven't had like an eye to eye, really vulnerable conversation with anybody probably in the past month. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we get fooled into thinking that we are so connected because we have, you know, access to technology. And I'm a big fan of technology. I also am a bigger fan of human connection. And using, you know, if you're using technology, use it to connect on a deeper level. We are so hungry for it. And this not being heard really is instrumental in the loneliness epidemic. And so when we look at loneliness, I mean, these figures will bring me to tears every time. Over half of the American population is lonely. And the health implications now have reached into the fact the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day, that lonely, desperate feeling of not being connected. And health implications now exceed those of obesity. So this is so important. You know, we as humans thrive when we feel seen and heard and supported by others, period. And so when you ask, you know, why are we not being heard? I mean, we've kind of set ourselves up for that. And you know, conversations, how to have like a conversation is not being modeled in many cases in the home. And so then that concerns me on so many levels, because we need to be able to connect to thrive. And no, then I mean, we are, yeah.
Oh, go on, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, we are at a time in our global community where we have such significant issues to address, such significant problems. And for me, the only way that the answers to those problems can be released is through listening and teasing out nuances and holding the space for greater possibility than we now see.
Now, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, even, you know, humans, we're I forgot what the word is, and I'm going to mess this up. We need to be with others, in other words.
Yeah.
And it's what it does for the brain. You know, because like, just for example, like the easiest cure for depression is just do something for somebody else. And people look and go, what do you mean? How can that be? And it's like, no, literally, there's a part of your brain that when you do something for someone else, it fires up these centers and you just start to feel good. And, you know, and it's one of those things where we look at, I always say this a lot, where we are connected in so many ways, but we're so disconnected in other ways. And that loneliness is just something that, that's why I love what you're talking about with soulful listening, because I think that's something that's massively critical that needs to be out there more so that people can hear. Because, I mean, you just look at society, look at teenagers, look, you know, you look at the isolation in so many different ways. It's just definitely a change that needs to happen. And that's why I kind of appreciate some of the work you're doing here with that, to really help people, because it enriches their life so much more, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And again, it releases and ignites the genius within a person. You know, we all have genius of some sort, I believe. We have gifts to offer. But let's say in the workplace, if you're not, you know, tapping into that genius, if an employee is constricted, the answer to your most critical problem might be right there, held hostage. And so to find a way to tap into that is just, you know, almost magical. And, you know, you mentioned teenagers. Can I share a teenager story?
Go for it. I love it.
Do we have time? Do we have
time? We got time. Oh, yeah.
And you also mentioned becoming a parent. So I'm going to share a parent story about a teenager, and it would be my teenager. So I was a single parent from the time my son was 10 years old on. His name's Jacob. And so I have only communicated with him in this way, although it was not called soulful listening at the time. So I was checking in with him. He was 15 years old. And I said, Jacob, what do you want for your after high school experience? And then I just listened. He, at 6'5", 300 pounds, said, Mom, I'd like to go someplace strong in math and science. And if I could, play on a good football team. Is there a place that has both? I just went, I'm sure there are. Let me check. And I heard Jacob beyond his words, beyond his body language, to that insightful part of him. We were living in Nebraska cornfield in the backyard. How could he come up with this? So he had something, his innate intelligence was calling forth possibilities beyond what you could see in our home environment. And so I checked around, and then I went back to him. The Southern School kept popping up. So I went back to Jacob, the feedback loop, and said, people are saying this. He goes, we should go. I didn't even know how I was going to pay for a plane ticket, let alone feed this 300-pound behemoth in a big city. Yet, when you listen soulfully and take action, doors open. And so we got on a plane, went to the Southern School, met with coaches, met with students. We're walking around a park. He looks down at me from his 6'5" perch and says, Mom, I feel like I belong here. And that was it. Before the end of his junior year, he had a full scholarship to play football at Georgia Tech. And that just opened up possibilities. And he's continued to lead a life of great possibilities. He coached at the collegiate level, and then he went on and got his doctorate in physical therapy. And so now he's practicing that. And now he just made another career shift where he's going to go and coach the elite Special Forces Navy SEALs.
So
let's go back just a little bit. If at that moment in Nebraska at 15 years old, when I asked him that question and he proclaimed his vision for his life, if I would have contracted and placed my limitations on him, what might his life have looked like? I don't know. I mean, I think he was kind of wired to do things beyond average, but just by somebody walking alongside him and holding that space. And to me, that's when a child gets to be in their, their high school years, that's kind of what we become, kind of their advocate.
Yeah. What you're sharing there is what my wife and I talk about as being parents. Like, it's our whole thing is just to support and just be there in the moment. When something comes up, don't react, just breathe and just be in the moment and just listen to them and really just feel them. And, but I love one thing you share too, because you talk about, again, inspired action came up. So I love this because it's like, I don't know how many things did the trip, the flight, this and that. But we felt like we had to go. So we went, and look how everything just worked out. Like, it worked out well beyond, I'm assuming probably well beyond expectations.
There is no way I could have imagined the life that he has led. There's no way, no way.
And go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
As I was gonna say, I just love that, because that's where I think the magic of life is, and a lot of people when we get so hewed into, because like you didn't share your limiting beliefs with him, you didn't, you could have contracted all those kind of things, and instead you shared that space and let the seed in the soil germinate to blossom the way it wanted to. And kudos to you for doing that, because look at now his life and so forth. And like I said, I've had people I'll never forget, because when I made the choice to become a chiropractor, I still fought in my head, because I had my dad who wanted me to be in computers. That's originally what I went into. And I'll never forget the night where I fully decided I'm going to do it. It took another 3 years before over two years before I made that choice. And it was a Wednesday night. Talk about people coming into your life and doing this. It was a Wednesday night. This lady, I've been working with her for a couple of years. It was a Wednesday night. We worked at the college, and all of a sudden we're talking, and she just looked at me at the end of her night and just said, Vic, she goes, you have the heart to help people. And she goes, that's all I have to say to you. She goes, I know you've been going back and forth with this business. And she goes, you have the heart to help people. And I don't know why I have to tell you that, but I'm telling you that. And I just hope that helps with your choices. And it was that night I made the choice. I was like, I'm going full in chiropractic. And 6 months later, I was in chiropractic school. And so the again, holding that space, just sharing to all the listeners, I'm sharing that story. I don't know why it came up. It just came out of nowhere. I'm like, I got to share the story. Yeah. To just add to what you're sharing about your story and to others, to inspire them to get it, have more soulful listening in many different ways. So leaving on that note, how can people learn more about you, what you do, soulful listening, the whole nine yards?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. My website is probably the best way to kind of tap in and, check in to see what I'm up to. And it is soulfullistening.com, all one word, soulfullistening.com. And I did a TEDx talk that was released this year. That's another thing that people might want to take a look at. And now I'm really excited about taking my work onto different stages. So if your listeners are interested in me being a keynote at a conference that they're involved in, I'd love to have a conversation about that to see how I might be a good fit and add value.
Awesome. And so I'll have all that in the show notes. Terry, this was awesome. It was delightful to have you on. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I really want to thank you for the work you're doing. It is so needed in this world in so many different ways. I can feel the impact of what you're doing. I can feel the shift that you're creating in this world. And I'm just excited that you are doing that and really making a huge impact and being a steward in this world.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing it with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing it with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.